Jane Rawson, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
Let's start with your most recent novel, From the Wreck. How did that come about?
Yeah, for sure. From the Wreck is based on a real-life event in the life of my great-great-grandfather. He was a steward on the steamship Admella, which was a ship that did the run between Port Adelaide and Melbourne, a regular run. And his job was like the stewards on planes today. He took the food around to the cabins, basically. One time in 1859, the ship was wrecked. And it was wrecked just off the coast, about a mile offshore, and floundered there in the water for 8 days and nights as all the people on board gradually got too cold or too tired or too dehydrated and died. Eventually, a lifeboat was able to get out to them and rescue the few remaining people who were left on board. And my great-great-grandfather was one of those. So he'd been through this really terrible experience and then been rescued, gone back home, gotten another job on board another ship, sailed for a while, had another shipwreck, got another job on board another ship, got married, had some kids, had grandkids. And I was really interested in this idea of how you could go through something as terrible as watching people die around you in the freezing ocean for 8 days and then just get on with normal life. So I set out to write this novel.
And it was supposed to be historical fiction, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to write a serious book. And historical fiction seemed like a good genre for that. I'd written my two previous books of fiction were speculative fiction, and I'd felt like they were really good books and I was really proud of them, but it didn't seem like it was something you could get very far with in Australia, writing speculative fiction. So I thought I'd try writing a proper grown-up book, a historical novel instead.
So it started as historical fiction, but that's not how it turned out, is it?
No, it wasn't what I set out to do. I did write two full drafts of this novel as a historical fiction novel, but I couldn't make them interesting at all. Not interesting for readers and not interesting for me as a writer either. And so I gave up on writing this book. I was like, I got a tattoo of it instead. I have quite a large tattoo of the shipwreck on my shoulder. I was like, that's done. I'm not writing this novel anymore. And instead I started writing a story about an alien who had lost her home and was out in space. That was all I had. And I started writing about her. And then it occurred to me that maybe she would fit in somehow to this shipwreck story. And so I set out to write it again, but this time with the main character as an alien.
That's a pretty serious departure from the original story.
Yeah, it did seem like that. But strangely, it worked. The character I had written, she's an octopus-like character. She's very similar to a large Earth octopus in that she's an intelligent creature. She can change shape. She's happy living underwater. She can also exist on land. And like I said, she had lost the planet that she had lived on. She had been cast out into the universe. And what I did was have her find refuge on Earth. She was searching for refuge on Earth. So I put her down on the wreck in the shape of a human woman, one of the survivors, and let her meet my great-great-grandfather and let him be very confused about this for the rest of his life. So that gave me a story I was actually interested in writing. What is it like to be a refugee on Earth? What is it like to have met somebody so strange and have no explanation for it? That was heaps more fun to write.
And why an octopus?
I'd been doing a lot of reading about octopuses. I just sort of stumbled across them in the course of, I don't know, wasting time at work or something, and had become completely fascinated with them. They're so intelligent, and yet they have a very, very short life, as though they live in another dimension where time passes differently. They're, like I said, they can change shape, they can change color, they can squeeze into tiny spaces. And so I'd been doing all this sort of popular science reading about them and watching a lot of YouTube videos of octopuses, and I just really wanted to try writing from the perspective of one. I'd become really interested in how there are so few places left for wild animals on the Earth anymore and how we've turned the whole Earth into human habitat and left nothing for anybody else to live in. And what might that feel like? And an octopus, particularly one who was an alien, gave me a voice that I could use to try and work through some of those issues.
Yeah, an octopus sounds like the perfect main character when you put it that way. I'm surprised it hasn't been done until now.
Maybe it has, but yeah, this is the first time I'd read anything narrated by an octopus.
Yeah, me too. But although your work often shows a great disregard for reality. You've used your writing to talk about some very real issues, particularly climate change in the past, and more recently about animals, wild animals. Could you maybe talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, like I was saying, it's I've become a little obsessed for the last few years with the fact that that essentially 3% of the vertebrates left on Earth are wild animals, if you do it by weight. And that we have turned almost 80% of the land surface into human habitation now. So there's nowhere for animals to go anymore, and we seem oblivious to this future that we've wrought upon them. We're interested in extinction, but we don't seem quite as interested in just the number of animals that we kill with everything that we do. And so that was definitely something keeping me awake at night, and so I wanted to try writing some fiction about that. And as you said, climate change is something, an area that I've been working in my paid work for quite a while now, and it caused me a lot of worry. I had a lot of facts about it, and I was really keen to try writing something that could use all that as fiction, that could be an entertaining read and also a way for me to deal with all the thoughts that I was having about it. And that was my first novel, A Wrong Turn at the Office of Unmade Lists.
Yeah, what I found interesting about your first novel was how you'd made an attempt to understand or try and predict what it would be like for an everyday person to live with the reality of a hotter environment in a place like Melbourne. It's not something you see a lot of in writing. Why do you think that is? Is it because the issue's just too big?
I think that is one of the problems. I think people would prefer not to think about it too much. I have also written a non-fiction book about climate change, which is called The Handbook, and is a guide for personally adapting to climate change. And when that came out, a lot of people were quite upset with me for having written that book. They would say to me things like, but we're still trying to stop climate change. Why have you given in? Why are you talking about adapting to it? And I felt like, well, yeah, I mean, we are trying to stop it, but a lot of what we've already done can't be turned back now. We have to deal with this thing. So a lot of people want to feel like we're still in a position where this is not going to happen, or if it is going to happen, it'll happen to polar bears, but not to us. But that's not the case. So I think that's one reason it doesn't show up in a lot of novels. But the other is that when you start talking about climate change, you're usually talking about the future, even if it's the very near future. And a lot of people see that as science fiction. And science fiction is a genre that doesn't get a lot of respect in Australia generally. I think it might be shifting slightly, and perhaps because of the threat of climate change, it's becoming more present in everything around us and more people are trying to address it. But we're still pretty much in a situation where the realist novel is the respected novel in Australian literature, even though the sorts of things written about in realism are increasingly becoming a fantasy in this world.
Yeah, it does seem a little counterintuitive that although you write science fiction, the issues are very real, a lot more real than some issues in so-called realist writing. Is that your motivation to communicate these important ideas?
Yeah, I think it's not so much to like change minds or raise awareness or anything like that, because I don't think novels can actually make that much difference. Most people don't read novels for a start, but it is for me, it's a kind of bearing witness to the thing that is going on around us, not turning away from it, facing it, dealing with it, thinking about the ramifications of it. And my main tool is writing and writing fiction. So that's what I do.
Jane Rawson, thanks for your time today.
Thanks very much for having me.